Well, it is good to be with you all again this morning. As I reflected, it's almost 2 years to the day since the last time I was in this pulpit. So may the Lord make more opportunities for me to be here and for Dave to preach to our congregation as well. I do bring you greetings from Providence Church in Madison. The saints there do greet you and are glad that we worship our God together, not only as brothers and sisters in Christ, but sharing our same common faith as Presbyterians in this presbytery of Wisconsin and Minnesota. Well, if you turn with me now in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, our text for this morning is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, a passage that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And if you're not, then I hope this is an encouragement and blessing to you this morning. Hear now the word of the Lord. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Thus ends the reading of the word of the Lord to us. Let us go to him in prayer and ask for his blessing on the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, we do come in expectation and hope that you will speak to us this morning through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you open our eyes to see wondrous things out of your law? Lord, if there are hearts that are hard, would you break them up? Lord, if there are hearts that are broken down, would you lift them up and bind them together? And Lord, would you show us Jesus Christ, his salvation for us from sin and death and Satan, that we might glory and rejoice in what he has done for us? We do pray your Holy Spirit would work this in our hearts. We ask this in the precious name of our Savior. Amen. Well, this morning we hear one of the most famous parables that you and I know of. In fact, this is such a famous parable that it's used in our culture oftentimes to tell people how they should conduct themselves, how they should live, that everyone ought to be like the Samaritan. There's a whole ministry that has been carried out in Christianity called the Samaritan's Purse. It's an example of what it means to live in love and kindness towards those around us. And I want to challenge us a bit this morning as we enter this text, because often in our culture, they present this as an example, and that is all that it is, and we are supposed to go and do likewise as Jesus instructs this man. But I think oftentimes we get lost and do not consider the questions that the lawyer presents to Jesus at the very beginning that sets the tenor for everything that follows. The vast majority of our interpretations go like this. This man was a legalist and didn't love his neighbor. Jesus shows this man who his neighbor really is. And now Jesus tells this man to go love his neighbor, and that's what we're called to do ourselves. It's a motivation for us to love our neighbors. Now, I agree with all of that. This text and this picture of the Samaritan is a picture of what we are all called to do, to love our neighbors. And we are to do nothing less than what is presented to us in this passage. But I believe there is something more going on than simply a call to love our neighbor. And we'll look at this passage in two different ways this morning. The first thing I'd like us to see is the legal spirit that is present in this man. And secondly, what Jesus wants us to see is the merciful spirit that is exemplified in this Samaritan. Now, this text comes to us at the beginning with a man who is a lawyer. Behold, a lawyer stood up. In the synagogue, often this is what would happen, and he is presenting to Jesus a challenge. The lawyers were experts in the law, and we have to remember that in that time, religion and state were melded together, and he was as much a lawyer of the law, of what was civil law, as much as he was a lawyer of the religious law. He studied scripture, and he knew them well. So we should see this as much like a civil lawyer as a Bible teacher, a seminary professor, if you will. A lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he puts this test to the teacher. You can imagine if you, a congregant of a church, encountered a man and he said himself was a teacher of God's word, but you didn't know his background. And you asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then afterward, that man revealed to you that he was one of the most revered professors of all Bible teachers that are in our country. You have a much different perspective. We have this going into this text. We know who Jesus is. He is God himself in the flesh. He's not just simply one who instructs in the law. He is the one who gave the law itself. He is the foundation of God's law. It should be a bit humorous to see this lawyer going to Jesus and asking him this question. It's ironic. You would question Jesus about what it takes to inherit eternal life? It's like a child going to their math teacher and saying, "Do you know what 2 + 2 equals?" And the math teacher clearly says, "Oh, really, child? Do you think I don't know this?" And this man is ultimately testing Jesus, what our text tells us. This lawyer is not asking Jesus this question because he doesn't know this answer. He wants to see if Jesus knows the answer to this question. He fundamentally does not understand who Jesus is. He would not be asking Jesus this question, "Do you know what it takes to inherit eternal life?" if he knew who Jesus was. And the problem comes that if you're a lawyer and you're going to challenge another lawyer, you better know the law better than that person. If you're going to question them, you better make sure you understand the law better than the person you're questioning. That is what Luke is trying to set up here. This man thinks he knows better than Jesus. He thinks he ultimately knows better than God, is what we will see. It would be like me on a basketball court with LeBron James or Michael Jordan and saying to them, "Do you know how to shoot a free throw?" Me, a Californian who has never set foot on a basketball court aside from a high school game on the streets, would be out of place to ask someone of that stature that question. But what we must pay attention to is the nature of the question that this lawyer asks Jesus. He says, "Teacher, what shall I do?" What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What good work must I do? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? How does Jesus answer this man? Well, he answers them like every good Bible teacher. He points them back to Scripture. What is written in the law? How do you read it? And Jesus begins to turn this upside down for the man. He does not give the answer to him. He puts it back on him. You're going to question me? Let's see if you know the answer, O questioner. Do you know what it takes to inherit eternal life? The docket has turned. Now the prosecutor has been put in the docket, and Jesus is prosecuting this man. What does the law say? What does God's word say about how we are to inherit eternal life? And Jesus extracts the answer from this man, quoting the summation of the law, loving God and loving your neighbor above all things. Does this man know what it takes to inherit eternal life? On the surface, it does seem that way. He answers, this is what a man must do if he's going to inherit eternal life. He must perform the whole law, loving God and loving our neighbor. And Jesus affirms this for this man. You have answered correctly. It is a quotation of Leviticus 18:5. You shall keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Do this, and you will live. Do the Ten Commandments, do these two commandments, and you will inherit eternal life. You want eternal life? Here's what you must do. You must keep God's law perfectly, perpetually, your entire life, always. But there's a problem here. For this man. There's a problem for him. How does he answer Jesus? What does the text tell us? Verse 29. But he desiring to justify himself. Desiring to justify himself. Once he has God's law perfectly declared to him of everything that he must do to inherit eternal life, it is as if inside of his heart he knows there has to be some qualifications here, because if there's not, then I'm not going to inherit eternal life. It is the sinner's heart on full display. It is what we all do when we are confronted with God's law. We evade. We seek to lessen God's law. We seek to put qualifications upon God's law. Ultimately, what this man tries to do is called antinomianism. He tries to make God's law easier. It is the error of the Pharisee and those who reject God's law, those who seemingly uphold it and those who reject it. They make a new law of their own. Desiring to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" He wants to make God's law easier for himself. I define who my neighbor is and who is not my neighbor, who is worthy of my love and who is not worthy of my love. And defining God's law on his own terms, he is able to then declare, I am righteous. I've loved all the people that are like me. I have loved all the people that do the things that I approve. And the people on the outside, I do not need to love them. In fact, they are objects of my scorn or my righteous anger. And what Jesus is beginning to show in this passage is the legal spirit. The legal spirit ultimately is one that says, I make the rules. I call the shots. It really is idolatry. I am God. I make the rules about what it takes to inherit eternal life. I define my neighbor, who my neighbor is, so then I can define whether or not I inherit eternal life. And it is at this very moment that Jesus begins to reveal this man's heart. Not only to him, but to all of us who are reading this text. But what does Jesus do next? Does Jesus just say, sorry, buddy, you're wrong. You failed. You don't keep God's law perfectly. You can't inherit. What does he do? He's gentle with him. He's gentle with the Pharisee. Oftentimes, in our world around us, when we think of the Pharisees, we want to be hard-hearted and approach them in anger and frustration. Jesus tells him a story. He's gentle with this man. Now, he's very forthright in revealing who this man is and who he ought to be, but he's gentle with him. And he tells him a story, a parable. Now, it's a parable that we are all familiar with, many of us. And a Samaritan was an enemy of the Israelites at this time. They were like half-breeds, if you will. They were defectors from the true Israel who lived up in the north, and they had their own place of worship, their own way of worshiping God, and they had a modified version of God's law. The Samaritan for this lawyer was not worthy of his love, and there is a very poignant reason that Jesus uses this man as his example. In the Greek, it is actually the very first word. Jesus replied to him and said, when it comes to, in verse 33, the very first word that says there is Samaritan. A Samaritan. The astonishing picture of the most religious people passing by a man in need, and then suddenly a Samaritan. In the Jews' mind, a Samaritan was incapable of keeping God's law. They were a person who was outside of the people of God, rejected, and not able to inherit eternal life themselves. But Jesus shows that a Samaritan at least keeps the law on some form. He keeps the law better in this instance than even the people who are supposed to embody God's law, a priest and a Levite. And this begins to strike at the very heart of this man. Jesus had penetrated to the very core of this man in this story to reveal that you can have the external form of obedience to God's law as we see it, and yet still be lawless. He begins to show this man that he is worse than an enemy of Israel. He is worse. He is worse than even a Samaritan. A Samaritan could be a better lawkeeper than him. And it is the point of the most difficulty for all of us. It's the most controversial point that Jesus is making. Your enemy can be a better lawkeeper than you. The whole point of this parable is to prove to this man that he is indeed a guilty sinner, that he has not kept God's law, that he has not fulfilled the law of God. He does this by inverting, by flipping over the definition of neighbor. The lawyer wanted to narrow his world and definition of who was his neighbor. And Jesus wants to turn this completely on its head. Not even just to say expanding it out to who is his neighbor, but the question at the end that Jesus poses to him, who do you think proved to be a neighbor? This man looked at the neighbor of who was outside of him, and Jesus' question is, are you a neighbor to those around you? Jesus' command is to drive this man to see how he has failed to keep God's law. That he is called to be one who even loves his enemies. As in this parable, the Samaritan is one who has loved his enemies. Ultimately, what Jesus is showing to us is this man does not indeed know what it takes to inherit eternal life. The sword that this man was trying to use to thrust at Jesus by taking God's word to attack him with it, Jesus turns right around on this man. He takes God's word and turns it back on him. He shows the meaning of God's word, and he pierces this man's heart to say, "Do you know what it takes to inherit eternal life?" And that is where we now see the merciful spirit. What was the lawyer supposed to learn in this parable? This lawyer comes to Jesus to accuse, to find wrong, to find fault in Jesus himself. He does not come to Jesus understanding himself as one who needs to be saved. He doesn't come to Jesus and say, "What must I believe in order to be saved? What must I believe?" He does not come to Jesus as many others do throughout the book of Luke, throughout the Gospels, that come to him and lay down at his feet and say, "Have mercy on me." He does not ultimately see himself as one who is in need of receiving mercy. So he cannot be like the Samaritan as one who is willing to show mercy to others. Over and over again, pastors and teachers will send people right back out into this world without understanding the point of what this parable is trying to do. One pastor said, "The Good Samaritan meaning is a challenge for us to evaluate our lives and see how good we are to love our neighbors. Are we loving our neighbors as ourselves? The Good Samaritan did just that. May we go and do likewise." Brothers and sisters, this was a death sentence for the lawyer. Jesus was trying to kill in this man his heart of self-reliance. He sets this example for that very purpose. It is the very first question that this man comes to Jesus with. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It is a question that comes up again and again in the book of Luke. A young man comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus brings the law, and the young man says to him, "All these I have kept from my youth." And what does Jesus do? Sends him right back to the law of God. Go sell all you have. What Jesus is doing in telling this man is to, for this man to understand that he cannot keep it. Go perform this law in order to find yourself justified. It is what Jesus does continually with people who think they are self-righteous. They don't fully understand God's law for themselves. If this man understood that he was indeed wicked, deserving of wrath and condemnation, he would have come to Jesus very differently. But this man is now beginning to learn what it means to follow Jesus. Verse 36, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" It's interesting what the man says. He doesn't say the Samaritan. He says the one who showed him mercy. It is as if this self-righteous lawyer is now beginning to understand God's law, the full depth of it, of what it requires, loving even our enemies, loving those even when we think they are undeserving. Jesus uses a very interesting word in this passage of the Samaritan, at least for the book of Luke. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, verse 33, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, compassion is a word that we are very familiar with. We understand this word. We apply it to Jesus very frequently. But Luke only uses this word three times in the entire book. There are two other places. The first time is a few chapters earlier in chapter 7 when Jesus raises a widow's son from the dead. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And then we find it again here in this passage. And then the last time we see this word is a few chapters later. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. It is the story of the prodigal son and the father's compassion for his wayward child. And he ran and embraced him and kissed his son. What Luke is showing to us in this use of this word is the compassion that is attributed to the Samaritan is the same compassion that God himself exercises towards wayward, lost sinners, people who are desperate. He is showing us ultimately that we are the ones who are the enemies of God. We are those who are like the priests and the Levites who pass by others on the side of the road. But indeed, we are also those who are the helpless man on the side of the road. Helpless, naked, poor, left for dead. Desperately in need of someone to show compassion to us. It is a picture of the compassion of God. What God does for sinners is that he humbled himself and spared no expense for sinners in order to rescue his enemies from the death that they had fallen into. Poor, pitiable, blind, dead sinners that we are. And that is the place that Jesus wanted to lead this man to see. That he is as much an object of mercy as he needs to show to those around him. He needs to first and foremost see that he cannot keep God's law himself to inherit eternal life. This is what Jesus does continually throughout the book of Luke. When people come to him to say, "I have kept God's law," what Jesus does is he drives them to the law even more. He holds up God's law in all of its perfection to them to show them where they have failed. But Jesus in this beautiful picture is also showing us a picture of the compassion that God has. It is only from that place that we can truly understand what the Samaritan did. The Samaritan here is a picture of the compassion of God for sinners like us, a God who loves even his enemies. Yes, we do indeed need to do something to inherit eternal life. That's the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You must keep God's law perfectly. And you won't. That's what Jesus is showing all of us. We won't keep it. We cannot keep it ultimately. We will fail. And if you don't believe that you do, Jesus will take his law and open it to you to show you. We do not obey God in order to inherit eternal life. That is what Jesus wants to show this man. But he's also showing him something else. When you understand mercy, when you understand the mercy that God has shown towards you, then you will begin to look on others as objects of mercy. Jesus is not rejecting God's law as if it doesn't apply to us today. God's call, go and do likewise, is still applying to us today. But we are Christians as those who recognize what Jesus Christ has done for us, who has fulfilled God's law in our behalf, completed all of it from beginning to end, fulfilled the beginning and end of God's law in our place. And then he gives that obedience, the perfect obedience to all of God's law, to us as a gift in himself. So that self-righteous, lawyer-like Pharisees that we are in our hearts can actually inherit eternal life. So that we can stand in heaven together with God because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. Because he is the one ultimately who has done what the Samaritan in this parable has done. The only person in all of human history who has fulfilled this perfectly is Jesus. And it is from that place that we can then say, I will go and obey God's law. Not in order to inherit eternal life, but because eternal life has been given to me as a gift in God's Son. It would radically change the question that this man asks Jesus. That is precisely what frees us to go and love even our enemies, is when we see that God has loved us who are his enemies. That even those outside of us, not like the lawyer, who is my neighbor? The question is now, who can I be a neighbor to? Who can I show the love of God to around me because I have received the perfection of the love of God? Ultimately, what Jesus is driving us to is to obey. But to obey because we received the finished work of obedience. And it's from that place that we can then go to Jesus with a very radically different question. Not what must I do to inherit eternal life? It is the question, Lord, have mercy on me. A sinner, a declaration, a plea. Have mercy on me, a sinner. So what must you do to inherit eternal life? You must believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus Christ is your full and complete obedience from beginning to end, that he is the one who has fulfilled God's law perfectly in your stead. Believe that he has taken all of your sin, all of your evil away from you on himself. And believe that he is the one who gives you eternal life freely as a gift in himself. That is how you inherit eternal life, is through Jesus Christ alone. And we can then hear this call. You, go. And do likewise. Live a life of mercy towards those on the outside. Certainly on the inside, those who belong to God, but even to those outside in the world beyond us. That is the call to us all. Believe in Christ, and then go and do likewise. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice and give thanks that you have sent Jesus Christ because we could not obey your law. Indeed, as Romans 8 says, the flesh cannot submit to God's law. It is unable. So we do thank you for Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would turn our hearts to remember that we have received mercy from Christ. Lord, I do pray for those who are here and do not know Jesus Christ, that you would call them to faith in him, And Lord, in all the ways that we try to find righteousness in ourselves to depend on before you, that you would help us to see ourselves truly, as you did for this lawyer, that you would open our eyes to the gift of heaven itself. We do pray this in the name of Christ, our Savior.